This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, I guess you got to get up. I am, I'm somewhat stunned.
Bye.
I've gotten so, well, the fact that there's not a school strike. I mean, the fact that there's no teacher strike. The fact that here we sit in an era of no political compromise and somehow a deal was done.
Yeah, they were prepared. This was literally in the 11th hour. Just after 11 o'clock last night, they were preparing to hit the picket lines. This morning, of course, would have been the second major strike since 2012.
I don't like being wrong. I'm glad I'm wrong about this.
No, me too. Me too, because contingency
plans. Why are you glad I'm
wrong? Well, because it so rarely happens.
I think for City Hall, too, they saw the numbers of the recent polls, too, that show the public behind the teachers completely.
Well, I don't think that's
completely.
True.
Yeah,
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, not fully, but in a big way. I mean, it would have been
I think the polls have been mixed at best.
And
there have been polls that have said the teachers are in the wrong. Bottom line is, look, they got together and... Yep. And they a lot of politicians are familiar with this word. It's three syllables, compromise.
Yeah.
The union representative's not familiar with it either. And as it turns out, there was some sort of compromise that was struck. So what did Karen Lewis say?
Karen Lewis said that it's not perfect, but it's a good deal for everybody. They still, she says it was a struggle. They still have to approve it. Their House of Delegates has to approve it. I don't think there'll be a problem with that.
Well, they turned on the last one. After Karen Lewis and company had an agreement.
Yeah, I think there were, you know what, though? I think there was a lot of pressure on them not to go through with this. Because last time, again, like we talked about, you have to have childcare. You have to have places to send your kids. Not just for a day of arts and crafts, too. You know, they missed a lot of learning last time.
It's an incredible waste of time for everybody. Claypool or Rahm say anything?
Yeah, Claypool says, see you at school in the morning. He was excited that they finally did come to an agreement.
We look forward to receiving the children of parents throughout the city, the principals who have worked so hard, and the teachers who have worked so hard to achieve the remarkable academic progress of recent years.
It means you got to get up.
Yep.
So if you're planning on sleeping in and then being bitter because you didn't know what to do with your kids today, I got to get up. My sister texted me last night. I don't know. It's probably 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. She goes, "Any chance of a settlement?" And I said, "Not from what I'm hearing."
Yeah, I didn't. I really thought that. But
so
again,
Nina
was...
and Claire get the day off today. Uncle Steve coming through.
I think so too. I thought they were going to strike as well.
Well, that's good news.
But
that's
it good is good news. Yeah, there is school today.
Cubs lose late. How late, Dave Ennett? And welcome back, by the way.
But thank you very much. It was around 1:45 this morning.
Yeah.
Then it finally ended. 13 innings.
I gave up at 3-0 Cubs. I figured if Jake Arrieta hits a home run early and he's pitching that well, they got no shot.
And Bumgarner looked, for him, a little shaky, although he's still pretty good, but he wasn't lights out like he normally is in a postseason game. Yeah, I mean, I felt that way, too. I thought... Yeah, the Giants kind of chipped away, and they made it a one-run game going to that pivotal eighth inning. And Joe Maddon called on Aroldis Chapman for a six-out save. And he
gave up three runs?
He gave up the hits that produced three runs, yeah. He was charged
that's
with one of
very
them.
Very unlike him.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why you got him for that situation.
Right.
But he came in with guys on base. That's not normally what he does. You bring him in with a lead and start the ninth inning, and it wasn't quite that nice and clean.
You think he got scared when he saw extra people out there?
He said, what are all these guys doing on base?
Why are there
base?
Extra people out here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, that's not supposed to be there.
2-1 is still a good position to be in. They'll try to close
great.
It out tonight.
Yeah,
Mark Carmen will join us here in a few minutes. Jake, did Carms do the postgame last night?
He sure did.
He did. Right.
Yeah, it was him and Adam Hoge, and then obviously Kevin Powell live from AT&T Park.
And Andy Mazur.
And Andy Mazur
as well. Kevin Powell will be on later as well. So Carmen does the post game. I assume he hasn't gone to sleep. Because if he went to sleep, he ain't getting up.
He's napping in your office, actually.
Yeah, he'll get up.
In my office?
But he may. I don't know how much sense he's going to make.
Yeah, well, how is that different?
Good point.
Yeah. Kid of the Week later, Governor Pat Quinn in studio in the 7 o'clock hour with an initiative he wants you to know about. And obviously got plenty of stuff we can ask him about. The Hawks will crank it up tomorrow night. Excited about that. And another somebody else speaking of the Cubs, Mark DiCarlo. My friend Mark DiCarlo is out in San Francisco as well.
Oh,
so
good.
He'll check in and say something stupid before 10. coming up on 6:15, Mary, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
Where did you and Dave go?
Dave, I believe, was in Boston.
I was.
And I was in Williamsburg.
Were you guys Kid of the Week prepping?
Kid of the Year conference?
We texted.
Yeah, back and forth.
How was your trip?
It was great. Took my mom and my aunt, both in their 90s, to Williamsburg. It was fun.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And you're in bed by 5, I'm sure.
No. They are troopers. They have more energy than me and my sister. We were just like, wow.
Any residual Matthew weather?
Yeah. We got hit with a bat on Saturday. It was pouring and the wind was going sideways. We had the Mary Poppins umbrellas that were going the other way. And that was the trip. That was interesting on Saturday. But other than that, it was beautiful. Trees have not changed at all.
Bummer.
Which was a bummer in West Virginia when, you go through the mountains. We drove home. And it was beautiful.
It's been warm.
Yeah.
Warm and wet.
They're just starting to change here now.
They're in Wisconsin, almost to the peak. So, oh well.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Giants win. That game's at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. A drive to right. And the Giants will win tonight. Here's Crawford with the winning run. And San Francisco survives to see another day.
Good baseball game. That's my takeaway. I think that both sides should be somewhat exhilarated. Obviously, they win, so they're going to feel a bit better about it. But there's nothing on our side to be ashamed of. I was really proud of our kids, man. But up and down, everybody got to play pretty much. Tommy didn't get in the lineup today, and CJ didn't play. Otherwise, pretty complete effort on our part. And I loved our way. I thought we played it hard. We played it right, and they beat us.
How can you not like Joe Maddon? He's like the world's most positive guy.
He gets it.
What do you think he's like at home? Miserable? Bitter?
Yes. Yeah, this is just the public joke.
Whatever supplements he's taken, line up for those. Yeah. Happy Joe Maddon. Giants still have a must-win situation tonight, but you don't want to be pushed to a Game 5 in the first series.
And they've won 10 straight games now, Steve, when they have faced elimination.
Really?
That's a pretty good run.
It was a good run.
They've done this before.
Well, there is... do you like Hershey's Kisses?
They're okay.
Bruce Bochy's giant head is filled with Hershey's Kisses if they come back from a late deficit, as they did last night. So it's snack time for the kids
really?
On the team.
Yeah. That's good to know.
They just pull the top of his head off and everybody snacks. Mark Carman standing by after a post game that ended about, 4 o'clock this morning? How late did you guys go?
We went till 2. I believe Andy stayed with Brian for a little while. I nearly drove into a tree, so I didn't get to hear all of that. What is it? Steve, I love Joe Maddon. He's a great man, and he has his head in the right place about how the world works and all that. But what is this, Little League? We played it the right way. It was a nice game. It was a good baseball game.
Wait, hold on a second. See, this is Mark cranky.
Right. This is Mark on no sleep.
This is cranky Mark. Mm-hmm. He can't, just enjoy the moment and feel good about it. Let's go back to him.
He pulled an all-nighter.
Hold on a second.
Yes, Mark? Carmen?
What part of that moment was enjoyable? You. Hold on a second here. You went up against the best postseason.
So what's happening again here? Is mm-hmm. that Carmen yep. needs to vent because
yes.
he was up all night long
mm-hmm.
and he's very tired.
You should let him vent a
little. Let him go a little.
Okay.
Steve, you hit a 3-run homer from the pitcher.
Yeah, early.
You had a nice 3-0 lead.
Right.
You got a 2-run shot in the 9th to save you from death.
Yeah,
and
you got to finish it.
This game, you have to win that game.
You got to finish that game. That's the type of thing that make me bitter if I was up all night and had to do the post game at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, I love the opportunity to be up with Andy, with Adam, with all the WGN listeners to share in the pain. Let's just remember that They are the Chicago.
You know, it's probably a bad idea to book him this morning, you know?
Yeah.
He's not making a lot of sense.
Did you just hang up on him? Although
we didn't know that.
He's still talking. He's on the phone.
We didn't know the game was going to go till 2:30.
Yeah.
So I think when we booked him,
but I love Carms. Carms a good guy.
Oh, he's the best.
He usually brings great information. This is just babbling nonsense.
It didn't go till 2:30 anyway. It went till like 1:45.
Yeah.
He was on till 2.
Let's see if he finishes strong. Okay. Hey, Carms?
Steve, they had first and third with one out. Javi Baez at the plate. Joe Maddon, I believe, put on the Joe Maddon bunt call. Javi Baez didn't get it down. They
right.
didn't score that run.
Sure,
there were lots of opportunities. Steve.
You going to be okay? Wait, come here. Get up on my lap for a second. Come here, Carms. Come here, you. It's all right. Don't you worry about it. Come on, let it out. Let it out.
You know,
it's only one game.
Okay, I can remember, just as we all can, being up 3-1 on the Marlins. I can remember being up 2-1 on the Padres. I can remember it. I know you can, too.
Wow, this is a full Cubs fan meltdown.
I think we'll be fine. It just was a little disappointing. He's not wrong.
I'm not disappointed at all. Because they got two more shots.
At least they didn't play.
Yeah, you don't want it to come down to game five.
No, you don't, but you have two shots.
You
the
do.
Giants
they only
have
to
one. Win.
Right. They have to win tonight.
Yeah. What's that?
You don't want it to come down to game four. That was a game they should have won. Okay, let's move forward. I feel great.
Who's pitching tonight?
John Lackey is pitching. Big game John Lackey and Matt Moore, who lived his entire life except for the last 12 games of his baseball career with the Tampa Bay Rays. Joe Maddon knows him incredibly well. The Cubs apparently tried to get him at one point, which obviously did not happen. So we got a lefty on the mound, and we'll see what they do with the lineup. Joe Maddon had an off night last night, too, with I don't know what he was doing as far as bringing Hayward in, bringing him out, or Aldis Chapman, the whole deal. It was an off night. So we'll see, if big game John Lackey can do it. They absolutely need him to do it. And the reality is, too, they have to hit. There's a lot of guys in that lineup not hitting. Chris Bryant.
630 Texter says, I agree with Carm. Maddon overmanaged.
He had a rough night last night. It was not his best.
Well, that's my point, I think. Because when I first said Maddon was a good guy, Dave, you said he was a good guy. I think what we both meant was he's evil and destructive.
Right. Clearly. That's what we both after meant. Talking to Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made these moves all year.
Yeah, and they've worked out fairly well.
Mark? Oh, here he goes again.
Did you just light him up again? Is he going to go off again?
No, I've heard this from him before.
We already calmed him down.
As a point of fact.
You've been listening to Mark Carman's postgame.
Can I ask him one question?
Hold on.
May I?
All right, if I put it back on the air, this is your fault.
I'm just saying. I'm asking you an honest question here, Mark. If Jason Hayward is in there, does that ball get over his head, the ball that got over Almora's head?
Okay, could you describe what's going on since it was the middle of the night and one of us in this room
was in the eighth inning when Gillespie hit the
triple? In other words, the middle of the night.
Two balls went over Zobra's head, too, which I thought he could have caught easily, and that was early on.
All right, so what we determine here, regardless of how you feel about the Cubs season and their manager, they're a bunch of quitters. They have no talent and no future. No defensive skills. I don't care what the statistics and the analytics say. This is a bad baseball team. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
We're saying that they should have won last night, Steve. We are saying that's what we're saying.
I think we're in agreement on that.
I think we're saying this is the Chicago Bears of baseball. I think that's what we're saying.
We're with you, Carms.
So. Everybody's a little cranky.
All right, Carm, good report. Solid stuff, man.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, I love you. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
I was thinking about kids who thought they had the day off today, and with the strike settlement, they don't. Remember that feeling when you thought you had a snow day and you were sure? And you got up in the morning and everybody was going to school? I mean, there's kids all over the Chicago public school system today who didn't have the paper quite done.
They're going, man.
Yeah, who thought, I got an extra day. Life's good. Sorry, dudes. Get up and go to school. It is 6:40. It's Kid of the Week time, sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. And we're not that far from the end of the year where Dave Bennett and Mary Vandeveld will lock themselves in a room, consider all the kids of the week throughout the year, and we will wait for the candy cane colored smoke to come from the chimney, at which time we'll know that a new kid of the year has been chosen.
And by the way, bribes are welcome.
Yeah, and food,
what?
Too.
Sure.
Bring food and drink, and we'll be fine.
No law against it.
There'll be no bribes or no food.
What?
No bribes, no food.
Children.
Yeah, we're trying to teach these kids to do the right thing.
Teach them the way the world works.
If we did adult of the week, bribes would be welcome. This is kid of the week.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, but still, we're going to let them do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not going to pick. So do you guys have some selections you've narrowed down in your heads? Don't say them out loud, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot.
Has there been meetings
yet? Too many.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, every month we meet.
And cookies.
Mm-hmm. Why do I not believe either of them?
Because they're both lying.
Yeah.
At 6:42, I want you to meet this week's Kid of the Week. Again, sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. And if you have a Kid of the Week, go to WGNRadio.com. Just follow the site. Well, you know, it's kind of confusing, actually. Why don't you just go ahead and drop by the Kid of the Week entry here at the show. What's the website for Kid of the Week? I mean, I know we go to WGNRadio.com, but where do we go?
You can click on the Cochran Show page.
Slash events.
Yeah. Slash events, yeah.
Big fan of our website. I don't know if you know that about me. Kid of the Week. Do you know a child that goes above and beyond? Well, this is how you nominate them. They got to be between 5 and 18. And as I said, in December, we'll pick a Kid of the Year. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your entry. That's it. You could see why I had trouble remembering that. I was never a Kid of the Week. All right, stand by, Chef, and let's meet Evan here. Evan Robinson. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning. Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Where do you go to school?
I go to South Loop School in the South Loop.
The Lions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think you had the day off today?
Yeah, I thought. But then this morning I was told that the strike is off.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening to the show, Evan, you'd know that.
Yeah.
All right. So 11, what is it, 7th grade?
6th grade.
6th grade. And what do you want to be when you grow up?
When I grow up, my main interest right now is in the culinary industry.
Dude, when I was 11, I couldn't say culinary, let alone know what it meant. What got you interested in cooking?
I think what got me interested in cooking, mainly, I cook a little here, a little then, but then when I really started was when I took Common Threads, because I think they really got me into it and they taught me so many new skills.
Yeah, and talk about Common Threads for a second. Did you know what Common Threads was before you got involved?
I didn't really know what Common Threads was before I got involved, but then as soon as I took it, I realized it was a good thing to do, because Common Threads taught me so many skills. I learned different knife cuts, which are like the basics of all cooking. I need them to cook. And in Common Threads, I've taken the advanced world cuisine and the basic. And my favorite dish that we made was Swedish pancakes with the chia seed jam.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, feel free to come over here and make that. And here's the thing, Evan, for people that don't know, Common Threads is tackling the obesity problem in kids and teens and teaching kids how to eat healthy, cook healthy for themselves, and be self-sufficient, in addition to taking on underserved communities as well and helping in those areas. So it's a pretty cool organization. Didn't Oprah's Chef start it? Wasn't Art Smith involved?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
We'll find out from Chef Ingram here in a second. Well, Evan, it sounds like you're excited about it. Is your mom or your grandmother or your father or your grandfather or your uncles or aunts, anybody really a good cook?
I think my parents are pretty good cooks. They went to culinary school for a bit.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's impressive. And you have two brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister.
Do they cook?
A little, not much, though.
What, do they make, like, toast?
Yeah.
I make great toast.
They make good water.
That's good.
Are they older or younger?
They're older than me.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Poking the bear, picking on your older sibs. Andrea, say hi to our friend here.
Evan, do you watch those cooking shows? I love watching. Have you ever thought of maybe doing MasterChef Chef Junior? Do you watch any of those shows and they have like a secret ingredient ever?
Yeah, I watch the shows. They're pretty funny sometimes. I have thought a bit about MasterChef Junior, not too much, though.
All right. Well, I'll be happy to be your agent and your representative because you got a lot going on, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't be bogged down with the details. All right. So sixth grade, you said, and we got a chef standing by. I can talk more about Common Threads as well. Is there somebody that's getting you into, these restaurants? Because a guy like you ought to be eating for free.
Not really, no.
All right, well, let's set him up with the whole celebrity treatment.
Definitely.
Because the only reason you get in the show business is a great table on a Saturday night with no notice.
Yeah, we can call Bill Rancic. He can go to RPM and make some of those meatballs.
He can get the secret of the RPM meatballs and bring it back to us.
Yes.
That sounds really good.
All right, Evan, hold on. Don't hang up, buddy. That's Evan Robinson. Let's meet Chef Richard Ingraham. Is it Ingraham, Chef?
It's Ingram, but we can use Ingraham this morning.
No. Ingram works. How'd you get involved with Common Threads?
I've been involved with Common Threads now for about 4 years. And when I was in Miami, I got introduced to Common Threads through the Miami-Dade County Public School System.
Okay.
I was a part of Michelle Obama's initiative to fight obesity. And it just felt like a great fit. And since then, Common Threads and myself have been working, hand in hand to try to fight obesity and to bring nutritional education back into the school system and into, impoverished communities.
And you're teaching kids how to make a great breakfast, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're definitely doing that because we found that, children that don't have a great breakfast in the morning, they seem to struggle a lot in school, and you wonder why test scores are down and things like that. And it's normally because they don't have that brain food. So, with Common Threads now working with Quaker, our job is to go into these schools and to teach the children how to have a better meal, and more so than them having a better meal, to be able to teach their parents how to prepare it as well. So, it affects everybody in the household.
Well, it's a beautiful idea, a great idea, and you can support Common Threads as well in a lot of different ways. Go to commonthreads.org for information on all of it. You got a pretty cool job. What do you normally do?
Well, I'm actually Dwayne Wade's personal chef, so I've been doing that now for about 13 years.
So what does Dwayne Wade have for breakfast?
Well, he has, as a matter of fact, he has Quaker oatmeal in the mornings.
Does he?
And I put a little chia seeds in there, sometimes a little flaxseed. And, it's great. It's a great product. And we use
I don't doubt that. I mean, it is a great product, Chef, but what does he need you to make oatmeal for? I mean, come on. He's a grown man. He can't make his own oatmeal?
No, he cannot, sir.
That's fantastic. What does he like? Does he have something he really likes? You have something you tell him, nah, you don't want to eat that?
You always have things that, you don't want him to eat, like fried foods and things
right.
of that nature. And you want him to get more involved in vegetables and eat a little bit more seafood, lean meats and stuff like that. And it's great because some of the same things that I go through with him here are some of the same things that we're teaching the kids when we go to these schools, through Common Threads and with Quaker and teaching the kids about eating more vegetables, more whole grains and things like that to give the body the protein and the fiber that they need so that their bodies can work better and their brains will be able to work better too.
Chef, what's an okay splurge? Like a little bit of dark chocolate? What's something that, that once they eat all their vegetables and fruits, they could have a little splurge on?
You mean like an NBA splurge?
No, well, for the kids.
Dark chocolate is definitely fine to have. And I honestly think that anything that you want to splurge on is fine, but you have to make sure that you have portion control. A lot of people, when they diet, they try to eat healthy. They have a splurge day. You got to make sure that splurge day doesn't turn into a splurge month,
Does Gabrielle Union help you with Dwayne Wade? She help you nag him when you need to?
No. That's left up to me to nag everybody in the household.
Well, you must be doing a good job, dude. 13 years in, it's got to be kind of fun.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
And it seemed like a good family.
Yes, it is.
All right, Chef. Well, listen, hold on a second, because I want people to go to Common Threads. And let's give Chef something he wouldn't normally make for himself. Give him a Lou Malnati's pizza. Send Chef a Lou Malnati's pizza. That's for you, Chef. I want Dwayne Wade to go, hey, it's time for dinner, Chef. What are we having tonight? And you go, leave me alone. I'm eating my Lou Malnati's pizza. All right, hold on a second. And let me go back to Evan here. Evan, I have prizes for you, buddy, for being Kid of the Week.
Ooh, wow, thank you.
Here you go. I got 4 tickets to the Volo Auto Museum. Do you drive a car?
Yeah.
Well, you're 11 years old. What are you doing driving a car?
Don't tell the police.
People know Volo for the good times and great cars, 1900s to the 70s. 4 tickets there. I have an app gift card. Get yourself some headphones or something from app.abt.com. And you can have a pizza, too. Lou Malnati's. Make sure you have a pizza as well. And you can call the Lou Malnati's folks and give them some ideas on a new recipe.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You're a good kid, man. Hold the line. Thanks for being Kid of the Week. Private chef for Dwayne Wade, Chef Richard Ingram and young Evan.
He's a character.
He's pretty cool.
I like him.
And they're doing great stuff at South Loop School. Mrs. Shelton and everybody over there.
How do you know everybody over there?
Because it's in my neighborhood, and I've gone and talked to the kids before, trying to inspire young minds.
You're just trying to get Evan to come over and make you dinner.
Maybe.
The Wang Dang Doodle. Yes, indeedy.
It is 6:56. I think I might have to amputate my left foot.
Oh, that's a nice thought.
I have like severe heel pain.
You should roll your heel on a golf ball.
Or a bottle of ice.
Where would I get a golf ball? A frozen water bottle?
Frozen water bottle.
I'm guessing there's one in the Blue Thunder.
Might be one or two. No, it's like the back. I've had plantar fasciitis before.
Yeah.
No, I guess it. I've got, like, the back of my heel feels like somebody's stabbing me.
Maybe you have a heel spur.
I don't know.
Maybe you tore a tendon.
No.
A heel tendon?
Have you considered heel replacement surgery?
Maybe I get my heel. I could take my heels from an A cup to a C cup. Is that what you're thinking?
I wouldn't amputate.
You wouldn't amputate?
Nah.
Okay. All right, well, I'll get back to you on this. This is the number one issue today, obviously. At 6:57. Sandberg's here to tell us how we did Wang Dang Doodle Week 5.
Alrighty. What would you like to know?
The team score.
Well, the Do Cares came in with 745. The Don't Cares, 509.
Yeah!
There you go.
No.
Killing it.
Nice comeback.
We had two people on the Don't Cares. John DeCoste with a 12, and Bennett Weeknight with a 2. So
a 2? How do you get a 2?
How is that possible?
He picked a quarterback that wasn't playing.
Well, that's true. That's a problem.
That does hurt.
Bennett.
That's not good. That's not good.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so let's go through the Don't Care team from, you just go through.
Well, I better do that.
Yeah, do the totals from bottom to top.
Okay. Bennett Weeknight came in 10th place. Mm. John DeCoste in 12th place. Mm. Anne.
Wow, she had a bad week, huh?
Yeah.
Mom, what's up?
Dragging the team down.
114 in 8th place.
Wow.
And then I was in 7th place with 113. So.
Well, you had a lot on your mind.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you had a lot going on.
Oh, it's a much different tone than last week.
Yeah. Dave Ennett is in 6th place.
What is going on with
you? I'm sorry. Andrea is 6th.
What?
129. Dave is in 5th
place. All right,
place.
Now, okay. I have a question.
With 149.
Playing the role of Dave Ennett today will be me.
Oh, she's going to question the tally.
I had Aaron Rodgers, who had 3 touchdowns. And I picked the Bears to lose to the Colts, and I was pretty close with the losing score. How is that possible?
I'm not saying your score isn't bad, but you're not going to believe how much better all these other scores are.
All right, keep going.
So Dave Ennett is in 5th place.
4th?
Mike Jacobson is in 4th place. That's He's like had the most 4th places. 3rd place, Mr. Steve Cochran with 182.
Wow, I thought I won.
I thought you won, too.
Yeah.
2nd place, Steve Grzanich with 188.
What? Whoa, yeah. Hey,
you know what?
Whoa, hold on a second.
All wrong.
Grzanich doesn't even know what a football is.
And in 1st place,
yes!
Miss Mary Vandeveld with 194.
Oh, I do care, I do.
How is this possible?
Who did Vandeveld have?
I'd like to thank.
Yeah, who was your quarterback?
She had Ben Roethlisberger. She picked the Packers, and she had a 0 point differential.
Ah, she got the score.
So
exactly.
She got 20 points.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Your wife was so incensed and uncomfortable by what Donald Trump had said. Can you just tell us about the conversations that you had with your wife or your daughters about these comments?
Well, you know, I'll always keep my conversation with Donald Trump and my family private, but it's absolutely false to suggest that at any point in time we consider dropping off this ticket. It's the greatest honor of my life to have been nominated by my party to be the next vice president of the United States of America.
Mike Pence, I don't know whether he's going to be your governor or your vice president. Who the hell knows?
You know, I mean, look, I don't know Mike Pence. I'm not a fan, but I'd like to believe him. But based on what happened Friday, do you think it's even possible that the topic didn't come up of bailing? Come on.
And I think we're past the point of, well, it was a private conversation. You have less than 4 weeks to go before the election. He should be out there saying, yeah, we did have a conversation about it. We discussed it.
You know what I would have asked him as a follow-up? Did you call Billy Bush? Did you call Billy Bush and discuss dropping out of the race with Billy Bush? Here's more Mike Pence. What'd you think about Friday that led you to not talking? Roll it.
I don't condone what was said, and I spoke out against it. But the other part of my faith is I believe in grace. I've received it. I believe in it. I believe in forgiveness. And we're called to forgive as we have been forgiven. And last night, my running mate, he showed the American people was in his heart. He showed humility to the American people. And then he fought back and turned the focus to the choice that we face. And I'm proud to stand with Donald Trump.
You know, why wouldn't you be proud? Why wouldn't you be proud? Because Donald Trump wants to talk about the issues. He wants to make sure that the underserved, underappreciated part of America that supported him so far, so long, that those people get the backing they deserve. He's not going to waste a bunch of time on the campaign trail just yakking about himself. He's going to talk about the stuff that really matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like at a rally last night. Here's what Donald Trump had to say about those important issues.
I was getting beaten up for 72 hours on all the networks for inappropriate words 12 years ago. Locker room talk, whatever you want to call it. But I said to myself, wait a minute. And I just saw very inappropriate words. But Bill Clinton sexually assaulted innocent women, and Hillary Clinton attacked those women viciously. One of them said more viciously than he attacked them. If they want to release more tapes saying inappropriate things, we'll continue to talk about Bill and Hillary Clinton doing inappropriate things. There are so many of them, folks.
That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. That Trump now is threatening to release what he claims he has, if in fact any other tapes come out about him. And he said yesterday there's more material that will come out.
By the way, those claims are false. That was one of the things that was fact-checked as well. Hillary Clinton never verbally attacked anybody.
She never laughed.
And
she never laughed at a rape victim.
No.
It's idiotic.
And Nancy O'Dell yesterday, her statement, because she was the one that Trump was talking about on that bus, she released a great statement saying, you know what? Quit dismissing this as locker room talk, because you know what? That shouldn't even happen in the locker room.
And again, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. I got a couple of texts yesterday from guys going, who are you kidding, Steve? You know guys talk like that. No, I don't. No, because guys don't talk like that. You know who came out yesterday in droves? A bunch of professional athletes. You know, there's your ultimate locker room.
Mm-hmm.
But professional athletes talking about what guys talk about in the locker room. Do guys talk about sex? Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Well, so do you. Women talk about sex all the time.
We never do.
Oh, yeah. No, I've bugged you.
Yeah. No, we do. But
have listening devices on you.
No, but we don't talk. You know, any guy who says, oh, my friends talk that way, baloney. Then you should get new friends if they talk about sexually assaulting women.
Yeah, what Trump talked about was not sex. What Trump talked about was a physical assault.
Right. Grab them, do what you want with them, and you can do it because you're a star.
Here's my favorite Trump quote of yesterday, though. Roll it.
But let me tell you what I'm very proud of. I'm proud that I've always treated the blue-collar worker, and I consider myself in a certain way to be a blue-collar worker, that make this country run with tremendous respect.
Sorry.
He claims he's worth $9 billion and he's a blue-collar worker.
Hey, you know, we
That's
all have
fantastic.
Gold-plated toilets.
In the midst of all of this negativity, in the midst of Hillary's deceptions, in the midst of Trump's giant steaming pile of you-know-what, we have one hero And our hero is a round man in a red sweater by the name of Ken Bone.
How about this guy?
Ken Bone asked one of the questions at the debate the other night, became an instant internet sensation. And his red sweater is sold out on Amazon. You can't buy it.
I don't get that. I mean, he asked a question on climate change.
No, well, never doubt the power of Ken Bone.
And if you haven't seen the red sweater for whatever reason, you have to Google it.
Fantastic. Now, the story of why he wore the red sweater, and this is a guy who's got a sense of humor about himself. He's 35. He's got a 12-year-old. He said the coolest thing yesterday was Columbus Day because his kid stayed home on the day his father's never been cooler.
That's so great.
So here's Ken Bone talking about why he went with the red sweater.
I see you're still wearing your red sweater.
I don't see how I could not have worn the red sweater this morning. It's more famous than me. I just had to bring myself along.
Can you believe you've become an internet sensation?
I went from last night having 7 Twitter followers, 2 of which were my grandmother because she had to remake her account when she forgot her password, to now I have several hundred. I don't know why they care what I have to say, but I'm glad they're engaged in the political process.
Well, I think they thought you were quite charming. In fact, you told my booker, Nyjah, why you chose to wear that red sweater. Can you share with us?
Yeah, I had a really nice olive suit that I love a great deal, and my mother would have been very proud to see me wearing on television. But apparently I've gained about 30 pounds, and when I went to get in my car the morning of the debate, I split the seat of my pants all the way open. So the red sweater is plan B. I'm glad it worked out.
I mean, that guy's fantastic.
That's great.
He's a fat guy who's not afraid to say he split his pants.
Love that.
Ken Bone, the only hope for America. That's why, as you know, I have renounced and pulled back and taken back my endorsement of Gary Johnson because of Gary Johnson's continued mistakes. So I am now endorsing Ken Bone for president.
Oh,
it's time. He's tanned, rested, ready, and he's got a red sweater.
And he's got new pants.
Ken Bone, who had 7 Twitter followers, as he said, and 2 of them were his mother. Ken Bone's Twitter account, I believe as of last night, had 35,000 followers. It's got to be way bigger than that now. As a matter of fact, why don't you guys look that up and tell me how many Ken Bone Twitter followers he has this morning. Because the world needs to hear from Ken Bone.
And it's okay to split your pants.
Are you ready for this? Guess how many followers?
Oh, you know how many?
82,800.
Yeah.
And he's following 38.
Yeah, I think he was on Kimmel last night.
He was, yeah.
How many is he following?
He's following 38. He's only posted 27
38
tweets.
People.
Yeah, 38 people. He's from Belleville, by the way. 82,000 plus followers.
Yeah, we got to get him on.
I'm going to follow him.
Ken Bone.
I'm going to be the next one.
Is he single? Is he a single dad?
I don't know if he's a single dad.
If he's a single dad, ladies, hello. Mm-hmm. The Bone Man is ready, and he's got a red sweater. Good morning to my friends at the White Eagle Golf Club this morning. Every October, pink flags are used on the flag sticks, and the cups are all painted pink. A little mini recognition of things, and donations are made. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you pay any attention to football, you know the NFL goes crazy this month and does all the right things in regards to raising awareness and raising money. But in studio this morning, a friend of the program and somebody we think you should know. Sandberg, you want to explain?
Laura?
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
She's of the Lynn Sage Foundation.
And how do you and, do you guys know each other?
I know Daphne, her handler.
never felt connected so important us. Before.
Amazing. She connected us.
Laura, you have a handler.
Yeah. Apparently I do.
Wow.
And Daphne Ortiz, everyone in Chicago knows Daphne Ortiz. She handles everybody. And Daphne said, I've got a gal you've got to meet, and she's going to bring you donuts. And I was like, you're in.
And we're supporting breast cancer awareness.
Yes, so it also happens to us.
How do you mess up with that, right? Yeah. The Lynn Sage Foundation. Lynn's your mom.
Yes, she was my mom, yes.
Yeah, and she passed when?
She passed away 31 years ago.
And she was just a kid.
She was 39. She'd been diagnosed at 34.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, obviously, awareness and research are a very important part of your concerns in life.
Yeah, I mean, we focus all of our efforts on funding researchers, and specifically younger doctors, because those are the doctors that have a hard time getting money.
So there is sort of a, not a caste system so much, but a seniority system when it comes to research dollars. I suppose it makes sense, right? The longer you're in the research business, the more thump you have.
Yeah, and also people want to fund things that they know will have a little cachet to them. So the younger doctors have a hard time experimenting with things that haven't been proven. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give them kind of that venture fund, and then hopefully they'll have enough success that they can go on to get bigger grants from places like the Defense Department, National Institutes of Health.
Well, that's great. You should be excited about that.
Yeah, we are excited. Keep going.
How do you raise money?
Day. So we use kind of unconventional terms, specifically in October.
This one's so fun.
Yeah, this is gets me fat every October. I have to go on a diet in November. But
you look fabulous. I don't think there's a concern.
Thank you. We have 190 local restaurants helping us raise money this month. The campaign's called Chicago's in Good Taste.
Okay.
Stan's is one of our partners, so we have Stan's Donuts here. Mm-hmm. And you can go into any of these restaurants and either just make a donation, or they oftentimes will have a signature drink or food item that the proceeds will go towards the Lynn Sage Foundation.
Lord, there's been so many advancements, and now it's on everybody's radar now. I know they always used to say get your baseline mammogram at 40, but that's becoming younger now. Would you suggest doing it earlier just for early detection, just to be safe? Because there are more cases now of younger women being diagnosed with breast cancer.
Well, it's going to depend on your background. It's also going to depend on how much money you have, because a lot of times insurance won't pay for it until you're 40. I'm at higher risk, so I got a baseline much earlier in my life, but it's pretty controversial. What I do believe in getting checked is very important. Early detection saves lives. And today, breast cancer is something that somebody should be able to, might be a chronic disease, but it should not necessarily kill most women and men.
Mm-hmm. The insurance companies have to look back at this. You know, we had a big story last week with Ben Stiller. This is on the male side now with prostate cancer, mm-hmm. who kind of coincidentally with a doctor from the University of Chicago who ended up doing the surgery, found out he had positives that turned out to be a surgical situation when he was 47, and the baseline there is 50. Mm-hmm. So if you're not economically in a position to pay for those kind of tests and you wait too long, that's kind of scary.
I think so, but it's very controversial. Some people say that if you start checking earlier, you have more exposure to radiation, and that could lead to cancers down the road. So I'm a big believer, and the doctors who I've worked with have always said to get a baseline sooner, especially if you're at high risk.
So if you have breast cancer history in the family, do you have better insurance possibilities when it comes to testing?
I have, yes.
Okay, so they'll drop the number down for...
That's correct. They'll look and see... lineage is really important when it comes to breast cancer. So you also might have access to genetic testing that you wouldn't otherwise have if you have somebody in your family with breast cancer.
When more people, obviously now the NFL, a lot of athletes are wearing the pink and mm-hmm. wear the pink gloves and the athletic equipment. That raises awareness. Does that raise money too?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes people say to me, is your mission to raise awareness? And it was a decade ago.
Sure.
But frankly, for me, it's just raising money so I can fund more researchers. Right. That's what I personally care about. I think most people today are comfortable talking about breast cancer. I mean, we're talking about it. There are two men in the room. Right. A decade ago, it was an uncomfortable conversation to have. So I feel like we've really made strides in terms of awareness and research. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a lot more opportunity still to help on the medical side.
On the website. The website's great, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
LynnSageFoundation.org. On the website, along with obviously all the traditional things you need, including a quick, easy button to donate, you have a featured scholar. These are doctors you're funding?
Yep, that's correct. So Dr. Vassilopoulos, which is I think what you're looking at right now, is the fifth doctor that we funded. We give the doctors $100,000 a year for 2 years. So he's at the end of his second year term. And in 2017, we're really excited. We're going to fund two or three doctors.
Wow.
2017 and 2018.
That's excellent.
So it's a big pickup for us.
Well, your mom would be very proud.
Oh, thank you.
Raised $2 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's
thank There's a lot you. Of people asking out there. So
it's,
that's
it's
very
not
impressive.
Easy work. It's not easy work to raise money.
Yeah, a lot of networking, a lot of phone calls. And I think the frustrating thing for people who take on this kind of work is you have to realize your agenda is not their agenda. And you have to ask, and then you have to re-ask, and then you have to nag a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then there's the great days, too, right, where you pick up the phone and they go, of course.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often. But I have my highest highs and my lowest lows from the foundation.
Well, this part is so easy, though. You can go buy a pink donut or buy a signature drink mm-hmm. or hand over a little extra money at the restaurant.
Yeah, not so
too
bad,
much
right?
work, not sitting at a charity dinner, having to participate in an auction. Right. You know, you're going to be eating at a restaurant anyway.
Yeah, you bring the ass to you. It's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just my thought is if you've got a $100 restaurant bill and you can add a dollar or two on.
Right.
Seems like a pretty easy thing to accomplish, or drink a martini that you might be drinking anyway, or order a dessert that you are inclined towards.
This would be great, Dave, for you, considering the amount of alcohol you consume. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's for a good cause.
It's a great cause. It's a great cause. So I'm not even going to try to defend myself.
We got our friends from Tavern coming in later to talk about this in a related way. But I would think if you would just go around the city, as you normally do on a weekend, and drink only beneficial beverages where these type of foundations are funded, we could probably cure the disease.
You can go to Tavern, by the way. They're a partner also. That's good.
Well, if I was going to, I would only then consume those beverages.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
because it's such a wonderful cause. Yeah.
I'm just encouraging.
Thank you.
Anybody else you want to mention that's working on it? You got family members working on this with you?
Yeah, I have two sisters, and they both help me with this a lot. We have 45 board members now.
Wow.
And yeah, so very impressive. Idea is to try to patronize the restaurants that participate in Chicago's In Good Taste for the month of October. And even if you just say to your server or the manager, we chose your restaurant because you are one of our partners, it would be amazing.
And where's there a list of the restaurants?
So on our website, which is lynnsagefoundation.org, at the very top, there's a menu. It says In Good Taste. There's a drop-down menu from Open Table also. And 190 different restaurants. Argo Tea, which is right down the hallway from you. They're going to be doing the campaign a little bit differently through the rest of the year. One-off hospitality group, Gibson's Group. Let Us Entertain You restaurants, Levy, and a whole load of smaller restaurants that are participating.
And every one of those restaurants, think about this now, every one of those restaurants has to be contacted and everybody's got to agree to be in on the program.
Yeah, every year.
Why are you talking to me? Get out of here. Do some work. For more information, go to the website.
Yes, please. LynnSageFoundation.org.
All right. It's great to have you here. And
thank
nice
you.
Work
Appreciate
by you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. We'll come back to the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
744. Polls not good for Trump. Now an 11-point national lead for Hillary Clinton. Start breaking it down to the states he'd have to win. It's even uglier. Other than Ohio, she has a double-digit lead or close to a double-digit lead in swing states now as well. Even in North Carolina, I think she's six or seven up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question the tape had an effect from Friday. How about the fact that TV creates Trump and maybe TV takes him down?
How about that?
Huh?
Vicious circle.
That's why and again, I mentioned this earlier, I'm endorsing Ken Bone and his running mate, Billy Bush.
The Bushy?
Yes. A wacky world. Former Governor Pat Quinn's here. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
Good morning. I think Ken Bone is from Illinois.
Yeah, Belleville. How about
Belleville,
that?
Yeah. I used to live in East St. Louis right nearby. And
do you own a red sweater like Ken Bone's?
No,
sweater?
I don't. It was definitely very prominent there.
You ever
night.
Split your pants getting in or out of a car?
No, I don't think so. I never had a mustache, but Ken Bone is a guy who was every man.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. At 7:45, one of the reasons we want to talk to Governor Quinn, of course we have him on the show anytime, but one of the reasons we want to talk to you is because we saw something yesterday we don't see. Compromise leading to a settlement. Mm-hmm. And there is no school strike this morning, which is good news.
Well, it is good news, and I think that's what collective bargaining is all about, Steve. You know, both sides had to sit down, finally, and negotiate. And I want to salute the Chicago Teachers Union in particular. They stuck to their positions, and I think they got a contract that, the members will decide whether or not it's good for them. But that's what, I think our country is all about. You said just a moment ago, compromise, but also negotiating to make sure people get a decent wage for doing a very important job, which is teaching our children. And I do believe that Chicago should have an elected school board. We don't have that now. Every other part of Illinois, every other school district is elected except here in Chicago.
Who's fighting against that?
Well, the mayor hasn't been for it.
But he hasn't been, out there screaming about it,
well,
right?
Well, he kept it off the ballot, the city ballot. We had to petition it on ward by ward, and people by 90% voted in favor of an elected school board for Chicago. Because right now the school board can levy property taxes, mm-hmm. $11 billion in the last 5 years on the taxpayers, but we don't get to vote for any of those members. So I live in Chicago on the west side, and I think it's high time that we get an elected school board. And this coming April, all over Illinois, people will be voting yes or no on their school board. And we should too.
I certainly understand the argument, but if you're Mayor Rahm Emanuel and you have a city that's broke, and you're looking at the thump that you hold with the power of the school board and the money tied to it, mm-hmm. Giving that up is a big deal.
Well, here's the deal. The last 20 years, I don't think you could have a worse performance by any school board anywhere than in Chicago. They had a corrupt superintendent. The pension system there is in bad shape, and a lot of other bad performance by the school board. So, you know, why do we not have the voting rights that everybody else in Illinois has, which is to elect members of a board that really chart the future of the education of our children?
Why are you bringing common sense into this?
As a resident of the city of Chicago, same thing. I completely agree with you. I think too much of that budget is balanced on the taxpayers' back. Why hasn't in the past, why haven't we been allowed to elect a board?
It's hard to figure out. It's mainly machine politics and the fact that the mayor wanted to control the Board of Education, and I don't think that's healthy.
You're talking about Mayor Daley.
Well, all the mayors go back in time, but especially now where voters have made it very clear that they favor an elected school board. The House of Representatives down in Springfield voted for that, but the bill is stuck in the Senate. That's why last week I'm plaintiff in a case where we're asking the court, both federal and state, to order Chicago to have a school board election next spring, the same way everybody else in Illinois has. You can't have taxation without representation, and that means you have to have an opportunity to vote on who's on the school board.
Not to extend this out too far, but where do we go from here?
Well, we're going to pursue our law case, both in state and federal court, vigorously, try and get the legislature, the Senate, to vote in favor of an elected school board. But, you know, early to bed, early to rise, work like hell and organize. That's what it's all about if you want to make changes, especially if you want to strengthen voters as opposed to just the insiders. And, you know, I wasn't...
You remember Governor's hip-hop career.
Yo, yeah.
But that's how we got the Citizen Utility Board. I got it on the ballot in Chicago in 1982, a third of a century ago, and people voted yes, and we finally got it passed, and it's Illinois' largest consumer group. And we need to have that same kind of attitude of take charge and make sure the people come ahead of anyone else.
We're going to keep Governor Quinn for another segment, but one more before the break.
How come when you put an advisory referendum on the ballot and it's overwhelmingly approved, how come is it just a constitutional rule that it can't go before the legislature? Because that's a great point. I mean, if voters are overwhelmingly saying yes to something or no to, especially if they say yes, why can't it be introduced?
How do you make advisory votes turn into something meaningful?
Yeah. Well, we want to have binding referendum. Right. You know, if you look around the Midwest, other states, other cities have, when voters vote, it's automatically the law. And I think that's what we need with respect to the school board in Chicago. And, you know, anybody interested in this issue, our website is takechargechicago.org, and people can learn about how they can participate in pushing the legislature, the mayor, everyone who's in power to listen better to the taxpayers and the voters.
We'll take a break for traffic. More with former Governor Pat Quinn, and he will come back and admit that he is running for something again and tell us exactly
what
it is.
Well, I'm going to watch tonight. I stayed up to 1:43 a.m. watching
not the
that
running.
Game.
That's not the running I'm talking about.
It was a great game, but it was really tough to take. What a great home run by Chris Bryant with the ninth inning, you know, to tie it up. But,
yeah, the Arrieta shot wasn't bad either. Huh?
Yeah, he hit that ball hard, you know.
That's right, Governor Quinn. You're born to run. Nice job, Jake. You're not done, right? You're going to run for something.
Well, I was a cross-country runner, and I was in high school.
You know, you've known me for 20 years. Like, you think you're going to get out of here without at least admitting you're considering it. You're considering something, aren't you?
Well, you make
I know a, you're not going to tell me what, but
you
you're considering
something.
Make a decision
in the future. I enjoy what I'm doing now. I volunteer for everything I can. You know, we took some Gold Star parents to the Cubs game and the White Sox game this past year, and we went down.
Well, you've always been great with military families.
Yeah, and I think it's important that all of us nowadays, it's part of our country. I think patriotic duty is to help those who have borne the battle, and you know, finding ways to volunteer to help people, whether it's veterans or children or anyone, is you know, the heart of America.
Right, that's exactly right. Where are you on the Independent Maps Amendment?
Well,
let me just tell you where I am before you answer.
Okay, good.
I support it completely because the party in power, Democrat or Republican, should not be in a position to write the legislative districts in a way where several of them don't even have opponents because it doesn't pay to run.
Well, you know, 1980, which was 36 years ago, I spearheaded a petition drive that reduced the size of the Illinois House. We abolished the jobs of 59 politicians.
We get it down to about five.
Well, there are some people who tell me that we should try again. But after the court decided last August, whenever it was, on the independent maps, you could tweak their proposal, and I laid out a specific measure that would, I think, meet very clearly the court's decision, and you could try again and put it on the ballot for 2018. And it's a lot of signatures, 300,000 names, but, you know, I already talked to some of the people who were involved in that campaign. I think they're up for another petition drive. Do it, you know, with a clean, simple, pristine measure.
But you agree with the idea?
Yeah, I think there should be an independent body that draws the districts. Good. Other states have that. We could have that in Illinois. But the only way you're going to get it is a petition and referendum drive. And
can you achieve it while Mike Madigan sits in his office?
Well, if you do it by citizen petition, you can bypass Madigan, the legislature, the governor, everybody. You can put it on the ballot directly the way we did in 1980. None of the politicians were for reducing the size of the legislature.
Of course not, right.
And we did it by citizen petition. And you have to have a clean measure. You have to be very simple and straightforward. The measure that the court ruled out was pretty complicated, and I think you can learn from that and come back with a better proposal.
Why should the governor have term limits and nobody else does?
Well, I think every official at all levels, the mayor, the governor, well, the president has term limits.
Right.
President Obama said...
Well, I'm speaking specifically of Illinois.
Yeah, well, I think we should have a reasonable term limit on the governor and definitely here in the mayor. We're doing a petition drive right now to have a limit on the terms of the mayor of Chicago, no more than two consecutive four-year terms. I think voters are signing our petition right now. If people are interested, it's takechargechicago.org. And we have to get 100,000 names by next year to put it on the March 2018 ballot.
So why is it being fought so hard? Well, I mean, I know the answer, so I make a point of not asking questions I know the answer to when the answers are obvious to everyone else as well. But the problem is the people in charge who make the rules have to change the rules unless the citizens stand up and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's what it's all about. King George III in England was on the throne for 59 years,
yeah.
And we had to have a revolution to tell him to take a hike. And, you know, the people who started our country, they believed in rotation in office. They didn't believe that one person should be in an office for too long, concentrated power. And so whether it's the legislature, the governor, or the mayor of Chicago, you know, we should have reasonable term
limits. It's not a career. It's service.
Amen. And, you know, power is service. And so you have to, that's why I believe in petition drives, Steve, that it puts the power in the hands of voters. And,
right.
You know, we can in Chicago put a binding referendum on the ballot to put term limits on the mayor. They have that.
And the legislature as well. Let's
yeah,
make
the legislature. But every other big city in America has term limits on the mayor. New York, Los Angeles,
right,
Philadelphia,
right.
Houston. But we don't in Chicago. And I don't think it's healthy. And that's why we want the people to have a vote on it.
Would you ever consider running for mayor?
I'm more interested in state issues. You know, I was governor for 6 years. It was an honor and privilege. And, you know, I'm one day a peacock, the next day a feather duster. Here I am. You know,
I don't know what that means. All right. So I remember having you on the old afternoon show. I don't know. Probably a year before Rob Blagojevich was removed from office. And we were just casually talking. And I said, and you were frustrated with the governor. And I said, how long has it been since you spoke to him? And I believe at that point it had been 6 or 7 months.
At least,
and you had
yeah.
made an effort to contact him. And again, as lieutenant governor, you had questions at different times. And maybe 2 weeks later, Blagojevich was on the show. And I said, that you haven't spoken to lieutenant governor in 6 or 7 months. Well, how does that serve the public? 3 days later, the FBI took him to jail.
Yeah.
I fast forward to what we saw in the debate on Sunday night, where Donald Trump completely countered his running mate and said, yeah, we haven't spoken. You can't have a position where the second in command could take the job at any point and has no communication with the person in command, right?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, actually, during that time, I was for recall, you know, recall amendment. And
yeah.
When I became governor, we got that on the ballot in Illinois in 2010, and the voters voted overwhelmingly for that. So today, we do have the power to recall a governor. It takes a lot of signatures, but I think it's healthy to have that kind of accountability. And obviously, Blagojevich did what he did, and he's now in jail.
You have any thoughts on reducing his sentence?
No, I think the court looked at all the evidence and made its decision.
How about increasing it?
No, the judge was there every day, and you know he saw all the evidence.
Let the courts do their job.
Amen. That's the way you do it.
What's the website you want to send people again today?
TakeChargeChicago.org, and that'll tell people about elected school board, how to have term limits on the mayor, and hopefully go Cubs go tonight. That's the main thing. We got to win tonight. After I went to bed at 1:43, that's when that game ended this morning. And
you should have seen him during the break. He was so cranky.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't give up. You know, Joe Madden's a good manager, and he's going to make sure that our team is ready for tonight. You can't worry about it.
And the Hawks opener tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, Coach Q, come on, let's win it again.
There you go.
The Stanley Cup. That belongs in Chicago.
And the pride of Hinsdale, your hometown.
Yeah, that's where I grew up, and Coach Q knows where to celebrate, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Nice to see you, Governor.
Same here.
802, back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
coming up on 8:15. Traffic in just a second. Before we get to that, though, Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9. We have a big Greek birthday today, Dean.
Oh.
Dean, you'll be very proud of me. It's my mom's birthday. Oh, it was on Sunday. We had the big Greek family dinner, so I brought a...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I picked up a little cake and a little pastizo. You know, your typical family dinner.
Which did you put the candles in?
I could have put it in the pastizo. It was bigger than the cake.
A little cake and a little pastizo.
Yeah. Do you know what pastizo is, Steve?
It's lasagna.
Yes, very similar.
Yeah.
Kind of like Greek lasagna.
Greek lasagna.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
By the way, that was a complete shot in the dark.
That was a good guess.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Dallas.
Thank you, Dean. I was waiting for that. She's going to be very excited that you just said that to her.
Happy birthday to you.
I like to call her Mrs. Papagannikopoulos.
That was her given name, yes.
Yeah, before she changed it for show business.
Right.
You know, Steve, speaking of, my... people do consider me the rich little of the new millennium.
Oh, there's no question. Your voice skills are unbelievable. Who are you channeling today?
Well, you know, yesterday, the past several days, you and I have been doing French Steve and French Dean.
Yeah, about the Kim Kardashian crime.
And I'm just reminded because I'm now doing it. I just did my Greek Dean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My most requested voice.
Now, tease this. Don't give this up yet, but tease this. So you're saying what's coming up?
We got a letter regarding French Steve and French Dean.
Okay, a letter regarding French Steve and French Dean. We don't know if it's good or bad.
I do.
Yeah, I kind of do as well. But we'll get to that. Get to that coming up. Hey, one suck-up note before we go any farther. Larry Wirt, who runs Tribune Media, has got a nice honor and I would say to some extent a burden.
He is the president of broadcast media for Tribune Media Company.
That's not the burden.
That owns WGN Radio, TV, and all 42 of our broadcast properties around this great land of ours.
And what was he just named to?
He was just named the interim president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Yeah, he doesn't have time for that.
That's pretty cool, though.
You know, he doesn't have time for that. I can't allow him to do that.
They are...
he's running around the country. He doesn't have time for that.
He's very busy. He's already a very busy man. I was a little surprised when I read this because... you know, despite your efforts, my efforts to constantly kiss up to him all the time,
yeah.
And you know, and he's like out of town. He's in meetings. How are we ever going to get in? To do the necessary suck up.
Well, I have his cell number, and I occasionally will suck up by text message. But I have told him many times, nobody can kiss your ass if you're not in the tower, pal.
That's right. You know what though? Maybe when he hears French Steve and French Dean, that could be the first inductee under his tenure.
How do you know he didn't write the letter?
I don't.
It's entirely possible. But he has been, the museum is going through a transitionary period right now. Bruce Dumont, their longtime president and CEO, announced that he's going to be retiring. So Larry, along with several others on their board, are going through the reorganization to decide who will succeed Bruce Dumont, discuss financing, head financing, and Larry apparently thinks that he's got time to do all that. So
yeah, well, I gave him a great idea. I said, you want to raise some real money? You want to raise some, you want to make it rain? You want to really support the Museum of Broadcast Communications? Listen to me. I have good ideas. And one of my ideas is a tribute to Joe Rockhead from the Water Buffalo Lodge on the Flintstones. I said, you put up a Joe Rockhead tribute, you're going to get a lot of people coming in.
Lines out the door.
Yeah.
I think I said interim president of the museum. He will be the interim chairman.
Oh, that's even bigger.
Interim chairman of the Museum of Broadcast.
So does he get to fire all the other interim people?
I guess so. Chairman, chairman sounds pretty big to me.
It's a big shot move.
At the same time, we'll be continuing as president of the broadcast arm of our company.
I don't like his chances. Nancy Odell, we played this tape earlier, but we'll get to the Dean can explain the story when we come back. Nancy Odell has spoken out about being included in the Trump mess.
And finally admitted that she's related to Spike Odell.
Yes, that's exactly. Well, they were married for a period of time.
I didn't want to say.
Justin Bieber's in the news today. And there's a great moment with Ben Affleck, which we got to get to. We get to all that coming up. 8:19, more with Dean after we get traffic. And Mary, I want to say hi to the Martino Concrete guys who are out putting concrete in my driveway.
Oh, awesome.
My friend John Lamergisi and his guys doing a great job. They're putting in, you know, when you're a little kid, Dean, you know about this. When you're a little, Dave, you know about this.
Playing the concrete.
And you get to, like, you put your handprint in or something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hustle out after the show, and I'm going to do, like, my entire body in concrete. I'm just going to roll around in the driveway before it sets.
Your head included?
Yeah.
Concrete angels.
You know, that's dangerous, Steve.
I remember years ago when they put stuck. When they put concrete in Donald Trump's driveway.
That's where all the tapes are buried.
And you stepped in it? Oh, wait, there wasn't concrete.
I think if you put Vaseline all over your body, you'll be able to pull out quickly.
Then it's like any other weekend.
And just if any of you listening for the Nick DiGilio show.
Yeah, Sandberg just wrote a half an hour of it. But anyway, thanks, Martino Concrete and John Lamborghese for the great customer service. They're good guests.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
8:24, back to Dean at Channel 9. How are things at Channel 9 this morning?
Oh, it's a great morning. Everyone's really tired, though, because they stayed up to watch the Cubs game. I made it till midnight.
Did you really?
I made it till I was so excited. And then
I was out at 10:30.
And then they, I fell asleep when the Cubs came back and tied it. You'd think I would have stayed awake. I couldn't keep my eyes open.
You know what I'm distracted by now? HBO, and I don't know why, they're running Larry Sanders reruns. And I literally have every episode sitting in a closet.
That's such a good show.
But I'm watching all the Larry Sanders shows over and over again. So, by the way, sometimes I'll just say things out loud.
Like your foot hurts. You should have your left heel.
My
amputated.
Left heel is killing me, Dean. You have any thoughts?
Sorry, Dean.
I'm not really that much of a foot expert. Hmm. I only got through 1 year of podiatry school.
Yeah, it's the back of my left heel. I might be dying.
You may have...
I might have chronic heelitis.
You may have plantar fasciitis.
No, I've had that before. I think this is different.
And Dr. Kevin Most will be joining us with entertainment later.
Dr. Kevin Most is going to call in and go, you're an idiot.
I'm going to be doing medical from now on, and Kevin will be doing Justin Bieber stories.
I'm walking like Herman Munster. I just like swing my leg flat foot. It's very sexy. All right. So tell me about this letter that you received.
The letter.
Let's go to the mailbox.
Let's go to the mailbox from Pine Grove, Illinois.
Yeah. Huh? Lovely Pine Grove.
Lovely Pine Grove. Lovely handwriting.
Uh-huh.
Dear Dean, my ancestors are from France.
Uh-huh.
I love your Pepe Le Pew accents. Will French Dean and French Steve please continue to make fun of the French every day?
I love that. Who's that from?
It's Brad. Brad Pettit.
Brad Petit.
Petit. Oh, yes. That's true.
Brad Petit.
Brad Petit.
Yeah.
Brad Petit.
Brad Petit.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Petit.
When I don't know any word in French, and by the way, I don't, I just make this noise.
We will be happy to continue to accommodate your request.
And by the way, this all started because Kim Kardashian Snapchatted her expensive jewels. Hey, nice jewels. And then French bad guys, French ne'er-do-wells, French thugs, or as they say in France, thugs.
Les thugs
broke in and took her stuff.
And then we escape on a bicycle.
That's my favorite. I swear to you, that is my favorite picture of the entire story. I don't want Kim Kardashian to be robbed. I don't want anybody to be robbed. But the idea that the bad guys got away on bicycles is so French, it's unbelievable.
Pierre, I will drive the woman's bicycle. There is no bar to hurt you.
Pedal faster. Ho, ho, ho.
I told you to put a horn on your handlebars.
Do you remember when Dean had the perfect way to catch these guys, though? You just open up another La Cheeserie. Just open up another cheese and wine shop, and they're going to stop.
We must get away. Oh, wait. Croissants.
And by the way, who has the jewels? The bike with the basket. You got to carry them somewhere.
Well, apparently, now here's the other shoe dropping of the story. Apparently, in
who
that basket,
dropped their shoe?
One of the stolen items must have fallen through Le Basquite.
Oh no!
Because yesterday, I don't know why it's taken them so many days to find this. It's been almost a week, but yesterday they said that they found a bejeweled cross necklace on the sidewalk outside the residence, said to be worth $33,000.
It's just sitting out there for a week?
Apparently. I don't know if they just found it yesterday or they just released the information that it was found yesterday. But they
don't look down. Look for the bicycles. Don't look. What is that shiny thing?
What is this I have stepped on?
Here's the problem.
It must be Americans nearby throwing litter on the ground.
Here's the problem. You and I go to Paris, we're not going to get any police help whatsoever, no matter what's happening to us.
I say that we're going to replace Jerry Lewis as the most beloved entertainers in Paris.
I think that's probably true.
Because of our homage.
All right, we're going to run out of time. Lightning round. Shailene Woodley, arrested for what?
She's the Divergent actress. She was part of a big protest that was going on yesterday. The protest was to express her displeasure with the pipeline that is being put in between North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa. Mm-hmm. While she was being recorded, she was in the middle of a two-hour Facebook Live. So it was broadcast for all the world to see.
Justin Bieber, Wax Museum story?
He already is in the Madame Tussauds.
Madame
Tussauds Museum.
That's where our listener, Brian Petit, works on the weekends.
Las Vegas. Now there's a second Bieber wax figure at their museum in London. When you go see it, they're spraying it with water because that's what he did in concert when he sang his song, I'm Sorry.
So there's a guy that's in charge of just spraying Justin Bieber.
It's an automatic, it's not a guy.
Oh, so it's like salad at the Jewel.
It's like the produce section at the Jewel.
Like
the sprinkler Jewel. And I think they play Singing in the Rain, so you know to stand back.
All right, and what's the Ben Affleck story?
So, last night there's a big, fancy Hollywood red carpet, the Los Angeles premiere of his new movie, The Accountant, and there are hundreds of reporters standing on the red carpet waiting to talk to Ben Affleck. He comes up on our sister station, KTLA, the entertainment reporter there named Doug Salk, who is watching the Red Sox-Indian game on his phone. Ben Affleck straddles up, and Doug says to Ben, do you want me to not spoil this for you? I'm watching the Red Sox game. Affleck, a huge Red Sox fan, stops the red carpet and watches the end of the game with our entertainment reporter. This is a little of what it sounded like.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Keeping the season alive, bottom of the ninth, two outs.
That's what it is right now?
Yeah.
Give me a heart attack. Is this a live feed?
Yeah, this is live.
He's going to walk Pedroia. There's going to be two men on. It's going to be bad for Terry, the Tito.
I hope you didn't think we were going to do an interview, because I'm not.
Held up the red carpet. I would have hated to have been the guy right next to him,
right,
trying to make my deadline. And
actually doing his job.
Get my story done.
So but when Cleveland eliminated Boston, does he just start cursing and punching your L.A. guy?
He was not happy. He was heartbroken. The Red Sox got swept.
Yeah, not good.
Indians clinched the ALDS.
Yes. Wow, look at you. Dave, we don't need you for sports. Dean just got it done.
Okay, fine. Have a good day, Dean.
I'm doing medical. I'm doing sports. Orion needs me to do agriculture. I can do that today as well.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
Bye.
That's Dean Richards live at Channel 9. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
8:43 now. Our friends Peter and Donnie DeCastro in just a second for Tavern at the Park and the Mimi's Revenge event, which is coming up later today. Let me explain to you how I managed here. So yesterday, the legendary Jimmy DeCastro, who Peter and Donnie let occasionally work at Tavern at the Park.
Yes, yes.
Jimmy goes, I hear you're having the boys on. Yeah. I want to talk about Mimi's event. That's great. And he goes, well, you don't have to have them to come over, make drinks, make food, whatever. I go, well, why not? Have them come over, make food, bring drinks, whatever.
Yeah.
They should bring the drink over they're talking about. It's 5 minutes later, and I see Sandberg disappear into DeCastro's office.
Oh, no.
So now I know there's a plot going on.
Oh. The plot
so then
thickens.
He doesn't want to tell me how to do the show. So then he and Sandberg get together, and then they decide that they're going to do this, because by the time I notice, it'll be too late.
Right. And then she'll say to you, she'll put it in the rundown and say, this is coming up.
Yeah.
Kind of
sluts. Sandberg, isn't that exactly the way? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, she's laughing.
Yeah, she's nodding. That's exactly the way it happened. I knew.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So what did he say to you in that meeting?
I can't disclose those facts.
Okay.
However, I said that Donnie and Peter could be on the phone, and we didn't need them to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the restaurant and make food to bring over here or bring drinks.
Yeah, so. Was that right? Was that about the same time he said, don't you think they shouldn't come over?
Pretty much.
So anyway, let's go to Peter now, the legendary Peter DeCastro. So I just want you to know, Peter, you're welcome here anytime. Donnie, not so much, but you're welcome here anytime.
What? I would love to come anytime, Steve, as long as you give me a golf lesson prior to.
Oh, stop it. But apparently there's a plot that's going on, which will keep us apart, at least for the short term. Can you lock Peter in so I can go to Donnie as well here?
So are you telling us that there's no food and no drinks?
There are, but they're at a tavern.
Do we have to go there? Are
they
going to bring him here?
Yeah, and that's where we're sending people for Mimi's Revenge later today, at Tavern at the Park. Let me bring in the legend Donnie DeCastro as well. And Donnie, you're welcome here as well. You know that.
You know, I heard the first comment. I understand where you're coming from, Steve. and just let me say for the record that Pete has already run 4 miles by 5 a.m., so getting up that early to cook food for you guys is no problem.
Yeah, all I right. understand that. I know, I totally understand that.
Actually, we planned on doing it. Jimmy just said no.
Yeah, I just love the fact that 20 years down the road, Jimmy is going behind my back with Sandberg so the two of them can figure out how to manipulate me. All right, so let's go to the important stuff here. Who's Mimi?
She's our mother.
And?
And Mimi has kicked breast cancer's butt, and she's a 23-year survivor.
How about that?
And we
about that?
Yeah. So we... in her honor, Donnie has created this drink, and we have been supporting Bright Pink for about 6 years now. And we decided we'd do a happy hour to really take it up a notch.
And Donnie, how old were you when your mom was diagnosed?
I was in college. I was 21.
That's a bad phone call. That's a bad...
Oh, absolutely. Actually, Pete, I went to Pete's house, and Pete told me, and it was a really tough phone call. But I know what you're thinking. 23-year breast cancer survivor, you're probably thinking I was 3.
No, I thought you were older than that.
Okay.
but I think it's fabulous because these are the stories, the uplifting stories that you want to hear, not just during the month of October, but any time of the year. And she's feeling great, right?
She's feeling great. And, you know, that's the whole reason we wanted to do it, Steve. She was such an example for us when we got this news. Rather than our family having to support her, she put us on her shoulders and said, we're going to get through this. I'm going to beat this. And she was really the rock that got us all through it. And so, I mean, it just goes to the power of positive thought. And she's an amazing woman. And anything we can do to honor her, we're all about.
Now, Peter, when you tell Donnie, or when you have the meeting with Donnie and you guys decide he's going to come up with a drink, are you involved at all in the concoction of this beverage?
I have a little bit of input. I sometimes help with the name, but Donnie is really the creative force behind the drink. He has a gift when it comes to these things.
And Dave Ennett hasn't listened all morning, but as soon as we started talking about hooch, he looks like a dog that heard a funny noise.
No, that's not exactly. Well, yeah. Hey, guys.
We could just bring it over by drone today.
Okay.
All right, so Donnie, what's the special?
We didn't get the clearance.
Yeah, exactly. What's the special drink?
So it starts with Belvedere vodka. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Breckenridge vodka. It starts with Breckenridge vodka, and then we add freshly grated ginger, and then we add limoncello, and then finish it off with Ting Jamaican grapefruit soda. And it's served in a martini glass and wrapped with a pink ribbon. And then every drink also comes with a breast cancer lapel pin that you can take off the drink and put it on your pin to show your support. And then, as Pete mentioned, all of our proceeds go to fund Bright Pink, which is involved in prevention and early detection. And they've been amazing working with us. So anything we can do to help women anywhere get a handle on this thing and get a leg up on it, so to speak, we're totally dedicated to.
Mimi's Revenge, saving the girls from breast cancer one sip at a time. That's the slogan. Tavern at the Park, by the way, is one of my favorite places anyway, even if these guys weren't involved.
Love it. I go there all the time.
Yeah, it's a fabulous location and a great restaurant, a great menu, and a great staff. TavernAtThePark.com. You can link it up there. But, Pete, you're going to do this today after 4?
Yeah, we start at 4 o'clock. Steve is going to go till 7 o'clock. We'll do past appetizers, pass out Mimi's Revenge. We're going to have a silent auction with some great prizes that we've had some wonderful people donate to us. And we're just going to celebrate that Mimi's still plugging along and as energetic as ever and see what we can do to help Bright Pink. They also have on their Twitter feed, which is hashtag not done yet, that everybody that clicks on that, the company AXA will give $1 to Bright Pink for anybody that hits them up on Twitter.
All right, that's hashtag not done yet. I like that. All right, gents, nice job by you. And I can almost taste that drink, but I say almost because it's not here.
I think the drone got hit at the bridge going across.
It's a pilot. TavernAtThePark.com. The important thing is wherever you are in the city, in the burbs, make your way downtown this afternoon between 4 and 7. You see a lot of very nice people hanging out. Some famous folks drop by as well.
I go by all the time. I drop your name, and they always make me wait.
If you drop my name, you can pay twice.
That's not true, Andrea.
No, you guys are the best. They always, best food in the city.
Well, Mimi's Revenge. A hug to your mom, and congratulations, guys. It's a nice thing.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait to see you.
All right. Well, bye, you know, that's not happening. Talk to you later.
I wanted to taste the Mimi drink.
Mimi's Revenge. Remember last year they came in, they made it and everything?
Yeah, and remember they brought us little mini cheeseburgers too?
No, I forgot that part. It's time for traffic. Please support Mimi's Revenge. TavernAtThePark.com. Kevin will join us in just a second.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on!
If you're going to San Francisco.
That's the part where Kevin did this.
Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Kevin's got a tie-dyed sundress on,
if
spinning around in the street.
To San Francisco.
Kevin Paul joins us now from San Francisco. Good morning. Long night.
Long night, crazy game. That's a game I'll never forget, that's for sure. It was anytime you expected one thing, the opposite happened. It was one crazy turn of events after another. A fun game, obviously, not for Cubs. Well, I think even Cubs fans would admit it was a fun game. Obviously not the outcome they wanted, but a wild, wild game for sure.
So you get Jake Arrieta pitching well early. He gets a home run. It's like, how could this go wrong? But, you know, I go back to Game 7 in 2003 when Woody hit a home run early. I'd never heard Wrigley any louder. That went the opposite direction as well. So, look, we just got to chalk this one up, Kev. We just got to say it's one game.
I think that's the right approach. That's sort of the way the Cubs were approaching it. After the game, they said, we'll just move on from it. Everything was going perfectly according to plan, really, the whole postseason. And then the eighth inning happened. Travis Wood, Rondon can't get runners out. Chapman comes in to attempt the six-out save, and he can't get it done. Former White Sox great Connor Gillespie out of nowhere, just tearing up the postseason for the Giants.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. But you look at Chapman, I mean, that's the situation. Maybe not the eighth inning, maybe not the six-out save, but this is the game anyway where you got him for just this kind of a moment. And I know it's not necessarily his comfort level coming in with a couple of guys on base. What did he say about it afterwards?
Well, he told Joe Maddon he was fine coming in whenever he needed him, period. This is why the Cubs gave up all those prospects to get Chapman at the deadline. And Joe Maddon said he didn't want him in for the full six outs, obviously. Travis Wood, though, and Rondon weren't able to get the first two batters out. No outs. Joe Maddon turned to his best relief pitcher, maybe the best relief pitcher in all baseball. So that's what you do in that situation. It's just baseball. Connor Gillespie out of nowhere, able to catch a fastball from Chapman, take it deep. So, the decision to Joe Maddon bring Chapman in, I was totally fine with it, and Chapman was totally fine with it too.
But when it comes to Rondon and being able to count on other guys, am I wrong about this? Hadn't he been a little unreliable?
He has been unreliable. I think some people's biggest question marks heading into the postseason was the eighth inning. What are you going to get from Hector Rondon? So see how much faith Joe Maddon has in him. Maybe Pedro Strop sort of moves to that eighth inning spot tonight and then the rest of the postseason. But John Lackey on the hill tonight, this is what the Cubs brought him in here for the postgame. He's got all sorts of experience, and he's the last active pitcher to beat the Giants in a elimination game did in 2002 with the Angels in the World Series. So,
Kev, do you see Hayward back in the starting lineup again and Contreras catching like we did the game before last?
Yeah, I can almost see Montero again catching, but as you saw last night, things get crazy and Joe Maddon was moving a lot of people around. Hayward went to right for an inning and then Almora went in, and Almora wasn't able to get the ball. What inning was that? The fifth inning and deep right, and then everyone started questioning, well, maybe Hayward could have made that catch. And then a few innings later, Almora makes a game-saving catch. So,
right.
It'll be interesting to see what he does here. I'll have to look close for the matchups, to be honest. But, I wouldn't rule anything out with Joe Maddon.
What are you doing today in San Francisco before you go to the park?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'll probably...
Did you spend your $40 in meal vouchers yet?
Well, it's $20 per game, so I'll be... I got a San Francisco dog at the park. Do you know what a San Francisco dog is?
I have no idea.
They're basic Frankfurter topped with Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and Thousand Island.
Thousand Island? It's like a salad on top of a dog.
Sauerkraut and Thousand Island.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
were you at the hospital? How sick were you after that?
They sell them at the same stand that sells Chicago dogs. And I was watching Giants buy Chicago dogs yesterday.
Yeah, come on. Which please.
Bad omen for them, I guess.
Well, again, this is the second day in a row you claim you have no plans in San Francisco, one of the world's great cities.
Well, I have no time for any plans today.
It's 7 o'clock
here. I got to be at the park at noon. I got to post stuff on the website, Steve, and I'm probably going to try to take another quick nap in here.
All right. Well, then we got to
where he is. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Good luck tonight.
See you later. Thanks.
All right. See you later. That's Kevin Powell. His report brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up.
9:12 tomorrow night, the Madhouse on Madison. It all begins again. But nothing starts before Jim Cornelissen takes to the ice and does the anthem. Jim joins us now. Hello, my friend.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm great. How's that little baby?
Oh, she's doing great. Just got back from seeing her last night. So, yeah, she's doing great. Thank you.
How old now?
2 years.
How about that? It's got to be nothing but fun.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, so this is how many years for the anthem with the Hawks?
08, 09 was the first season I did all of them.
Right.
So what is it, seven or eight years?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously it exploded immediately, and you get requests to do it all the time. Do you have any idea how many anthems you would do in a year?
About 200, I would say. Plus there's other things like talking to you, you know.
There's
lots going on.
How has your voice not been destroyed? Because you have to be standing next to Jim to understand how hard he sings the anthem. I know you see it on TV or you see it when you're at the UC on the monitors, but you have to see what he puts out physically when you're literally standing next to him. Yeah, I've been worried about you passing out a couple of times. I've been standing next to you.
It's a sprint. It's a full-out sprint for about a minute and 35 seconds. That's true.
200. Now, because you're a professional and you come from classical training and the opera and stuff, you know right. How to sing that hard and how to use your voice, right?
That's right. But, you know, if you're going to sing a 3-4-hour opera, you would really pick your moments that you would ever put out that much sound at one time. It really is. I mean, I'm putting out as much sound as I can the whole time that I sing it.
It's so cool. Every time I see you, Jim, I get chills. And every time I hear you do the anthem, I took my goddaughter to a preseason game last week, and it was so awesome. We were up in the box, and everybody went, shh, 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 the anthem, because it's you. And actually one of the younger people in the box said, does he have a little clicker for when the flag moves, when you point up to the flag, like one of those Tom Skilling clickers to make the flag wave?
You know, that's a good point. Is there a fan on that? Is there a kid up there with a fan? How do they do that?
Yeah, I think it's a fan, but I really don't know. I've never asked. But I'm surprised, Andrea, you said that somebody was up there going, shh.
They were.
Hawks game. That doesn't seem like a very
at the start
thing to do.
Oh no! By the time you get to by the time you get to see, that's when the crowd.
Oh, I can tell you right now, and you know this is true. And Dave, you've seen this as well. Mm-hmm. When you're in the concourse, the most dangerous place you can be is in the concourse 30 seconds before Cornelissen sings, because everybody is running to their seats so they can be a part of it.
Yep.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a nice honor.
Jim, what kind of reaction do you get from the players? And I know the Blackhawks players all know you, and they're used to it, so it's a little different. You ever hear from the visiting players? They ever say anything to you?
I've gotten tremendous support from pretty much, you know, everybody that I'd come in contact with, which is not the players a whole lot, but Doc Emrick, for example, has been totally supportive. He's not even a Chicago guy, but he's been great and just kind of stepping up and saying, this is an awesome tradition and this guy does a great job. And so I've always felt really thankful to him. I know Eric Nystrom some years back was quoted as saying, you know, it's a masculine, boisterous version that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And O Canada is way easier to sing, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but when you have to do the double, which is a lot of nights in the NHL, is that more of a strain, or is that the O Canada as a warm-up?
You know what? It's fun because you get to sing and it's quiet, and then and it is kind of a warm-up. And then once you get into the anthem, everybody kicks up the volume, right? So it goes. It's like going from 0 to 60. It's a much greater effect than if people were already cheering and loud. Right.
Right.
Then you don't notice the cheering when it comes on. But I love doing the Canadian anthem and then the American anthem. It just adds more drama to the moment.
Canadian anthem is really a nice song.
It is.
Lyrically.
It's like a kumbaya, man. It's like a great. It's just warm, fuzzy feelings, you know.
Will there be a different anthem when Las Vegas comes into the league?
Yeah. A little less talk, a little more convert. No, a little more. You know, it's an Elvis thing. It's going to be an Elvis thing
right,
for sure.
Exactly.
Viva Las Vegas. Sure, that would make sense. All right. So when you go to the game tomorrow night or whenever you go soon, you're going to notice, you look at Jim, you go, what's different about Jim? What's different about Jim? Wait,
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue, Steve. Between you and me, right?
Yeah, no one else is listening.
One of us has a better golf game, and one of us has a better hairline.
Well, but you know what? Before you had the procedure, you already won that race. Jim Cornelison has a new head of hair of sorts. Explain what happened.
I went to Restore Hair. You know, it's the same group that's done Urlacher and Eddie Olchek. So people will be seeing, you know, Eddie's new do as well. And, it's been a fantastic experience. And feel like I look younger. Even my mom's quit making wise cracks about my hair loss now. And she's like, wow, it's really looking good. So very happy about it.
Well, good for you, man. It's something that they... you know, I would have done years ago, but now they just want to use me as the before picture. Right. Steve, you're too far gone. Like,
night and day compared to what it used to be.
It's amazing because, right, Urlacher was bald.
Oh, there's a picture. Yeah. I just saw a picture. You look great, Jim.
On the website?
Yeah, on the website.
All right, cool. What is the website, Dave?
Looks like restorehair.com. Does that sound right? That's what mine is.
Restorehair.com, and I already talked to them, Steve. They said they'd love you to come on down, and they'd take care of that head of yours.
What if I just do a mohawk?
You want a mohawk?
Yeah, just a mohawk right down the middle. Well, listen, buddy, rest up. You got a big season ahead, and you add so much to the game and so much to the experience. And I know you hear that a lot, but you probably never hear it enough, but it's cool.
Well, I love being part of it. It's been a real journey, real awesome journey. So
it's going to be a great year. Going to be a great year of Hawks hockey.
I think so, too.
All of that, that's my friend Jim Cornelison. And if people want to follow you in other ways, you had a website or social you want to throw out there?
Yeah. You know, I got a @anthem_singer for Twitter, right? And then I got jimcornelison.com as a website. You know, they can come on there. And if they want to get in touch with me or something, they can always do it through that website.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Cool. All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you tomorrow. At @anthem_singer. Right, there you go.
He does look good.
Jim, you're right. If you stand next to him when he's
it's
singing,
unbelievable.
Like I've done it at golf outings. Yeah, I mean, it's like you just kind of feel it. You sense it. You know,
you know the cartoon thing? Like when the cartoon character's eyes would roll up in their head, you know? I mean, he gets that look. He gets that look like, dude, you're going to pass out. Yeah. He just belts it out.
Mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin called him and said, settle down, man. It's 9:20. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. The Steve Cochran Show continues. People ask me all the time, why you sit down on Trump? Well, the show's only 4 hours. But one of the things that was disturbing that came out of the debate on Sunday night is his lack of knowledge of what's going on in Syria. And how his answer about Syria included Mosul, which is in Iraq, and a real complete lack of any sort of grasp of understanding about the damage that's being done there, about Russia's role. And as a matter of fact, it was announced yesterday, Russia is going to build a permanent naval base in Syria, very close to Lebanon, that could be problematic in the Middle East in general, as far as Russia's footprint there. There's also, you remember the footage of the little boy with blood on his face?
Yes.
In the back of an ambulance, who was eventually reunited with his family miraculously.
Yes.
And everybody thought, you know, and there was a great headline tied to that original picture, which goes, anybody going to take Syria seriously now? Well, we got another one. A little girl with blood on her face screaming out for her father after an airstrike in Syria that is believed to come from Russian jets. These are the innocent people that continue to be killed every single day or have their lives torn apart. And Doctors Without Borders, I got to tell you something. We haven't had anybody on from Doctors Without Borders in a long time. This is an organization of heroes.
Oh, absolutely.
These are the people, the international group of doctors that go into the worst sections of the planet and provide medical care for people in harm's way.
Right.
And they are now begging for access to treat the wounded people of Aleppo without being killed in the process.
Right.
Because there's all bets are off. They blow up hospitals. A Red Cross on top of a hospital or the equivalent in other parts of the world means nothing, apparently to the Russian fighters, but certainly to ISIS and others. They'll just blow the hospital up.
There was a Doctors Without Borders faction in Aleppo, and I don't know if they're still there or not, but that was when all the refugees, at the height of it, when they were leaving and leaving and leaving and going to different countries, they said, you have to get out, and they said no.
Yeah, they stay behind.
Yeah.
The rest of the election news from yesterday, Paul Ryan told the House Republicans, hey, do what you got to do. All bets are off. You don't want to support Trump, don't support him. Trump, not happy, immediately attacked Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, as opposed to, again, talking about any sorts of issues that would actually affect you. We are 4 weeks from Election Day today. 4 weeks. Trump also said more videos may be coming out, and he said if more videos come out, he'll turn up the heat on Hillary and Bill even more. Again, exactly getting it wrong on what he needs to do, but doing exactly what you would expect him to do, just slash back at anyone who he thinks has come after him in any way, shape, or form. And I got to be honest with you, I've been a fan of Governor Rauner. I remain a fan of Governor Rauner. I want to hear more from Governor Rauner.
Yeah.
I mean, Governor Rauner called the leaked tape disgusting, but has he said he's not going to vote for Trump? What else has he said?
No, and you know what, Trump strategist, especially Kellyanne Conway, at this point, with less than 4 weeks to go, or exactly 4 weeks to go.
4 weeks from today.
They have to say, you know what, it has to be issue-oriented at this point.
But you can't control him. You can't, I mean, you know, I don't know Kellyanne Conway, but to some extent I feel for her because, you know, even though she's making a mint, but you tell him to do one thing, he goes out and he does what he wants. John McCain, Senator John McCain, former presidential candidate John McCain, former Republican nominee John McCain, who at one point in 2008 when Barack Obama was brought up at a rally with somebody saying he's a Muslim, McCain stood up and said, no, not true. He's a good man, good family man. I just happen to disagree with him.
Right.
Trump is saying he will not agree to even validate the election if he loses. Richard friggin' Nixon, which, by the way, is his middle name. A lot of people thought it was Milhouse. Richard friggin' Nixon in 1960 knew the election had been stolen by John Kennedy. And he stood on the tarmac in California about to get on a plane and go to Washington and said, no recount. Country doesn't need that. Can't withstand it.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore probably, he certainly would have been competitive. He may have won Florida in a recount. He may have become president. Personally, I'm glad he didn't. But Al Gore didn't demand a recount. There is an honor that goes with being a major party nominee with the possibility of becoming the president, responsibility that they don't understand. John McCain understood it. McCain's no longer on the Trump train either. And he may not get elected. He won his primary in a tight race, but he's in a tough re-election battle. But he says no.
I did not like it. I spoke out strongly against it. I spoke out strongly on several other issues where I thought that Mr. Trump was absolutely wrong. I've not been shy about it. The son of the Khan family, a man who literally sacrificed his life to save others as he approached an IED. All of those things I thought were very wrong. But then, when Mr. Trump attacks women and demeans the women in our nation and in our society, that is a point where I just have to part company. It's not pleasant for me to renounce the nominee of my party. He won the nomination fair and square. But I have daughters. I have friends. I have so many wonderful people on my staff. They cannot be degraded and demeaned in that fashion. And so I believe that I had to withdraw my support, just as I cannot support Hillary Clinton.
Meanwhile, Nancy O'Dell, who was brought up in that tape by Trump in some pretty derogatory ways after she wouldn't, you know, submit to the charms of Donald Trump, she made a powerful statement last night. And by the way, powerful statement and entertainment television normally don't go together. But here's that.
I'm sure that most of you have heard the audio tape, which became national news and part of the presidential race. My name was mentioned, and unfortunately, the release of it has thrown me in the middle of the political arena of which I didn't ask to be a part. I released a statement on Saturday, and I truly mean what I said. There is no room for objectification of women or anyone for that matter, not even in the locker room. The conversation has got to change because everybody deserves respect, no matter the gender or setting. And as a mom, well, I have to add that our kids, especially our young girls, need to know that their hard work, their achievements, their intelligence, their heart are most important. And those things will not go unnoticed. I also want to take this time now to thank you, the viewers who so graciously open your homes to entertainment tonight, every night. I have been flooded with your messages from around the world, and I so appreciate all of your kind words. I have been reading as many as I can, and they are completely renewing my faith that we all want a better and more inclusive society. So once again, I thank you all for your support.
Remember, you're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. You're an American first. And what are you going to do on November 8th as an American first? Consider who you're considering giving the job of the most powerful person on the planet. It cannot be Trump. It's 9:31. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
9:43. Orion Samuelson, America's heartthrob, now entering the studio. Look at that. How about that? It's like I was introducing him backstage. I said, Orion Samuelson, the door open, and there he was. I wasn't even sure you were in the building. Very impressive.
Well, I walked in this morning, so it was a long walk from Huntley.
How are you?
Well, I'm just fine. Now, I know all of you people have exciting weekends every weekend, but let me tell you quickly about this weekend.
What'd you do?
Started Friday with a surprise birthday party to celebrate Mr. D's 95th birthday at Arlington Park.
95?
And they surprised him. And it didn't start till 3:30 in the afternoon.
Is it a good idea to surprise a 95-year-old guy?
Yeah, he handles it well. He's still working 6 days a week.
He looks great.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. So anyway, that started the weekend. And then Saturday, in a tuxedo, in the livestock show ring at Madison, Wisconsin World Dairy Expo, surrounded by some very pretty ladies, including Gloria, but the finest dairy cattle in North America. And then...
How many times have you had a tuxedo in a barn?
Second time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
And before that, our granddaughter Grace, who is a freshman at the University of Charleston, got sent home when they closed the university for Hurricane Matthew.
Sure.
So we got to spend time with her.
Bonus.
And then Sunday night, emceed the program at the WGN Veterans Party, an annual event. And, Jack Taylor, haven't seen Jack for a long time.
Wow.
And engineers and stagehands at the TV station who I work with.
By the way, this is Orion slowing down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is Orion winding his schedule down.
I'm tired listening.
But no,
wow, I'm winded.
It was a lot of fun. Carol Hankner was there and got to see her.
Oh, good. How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing very well, yeah. Tom Peterson, the other Walk of Fame inductee, and... this year.
I love seeing Tom with his grandkids.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Because he's so happy.
Yeah.
And they just worship him.
So anyway, that was my exciting weekend. Now can I talk about pumpkins for a moment?
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to get Sandberg in here because I want you to confirm that she's nuts. This is a producer of the program.
Yes.
Mary Sandberg.
And you want me to convince her she's nuts?
No, confirm it. Based on the evidence you're about to receive.
Okay.
She's married to Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. Yeah. You went pumpkin shopping with your kids last Friday?
With my stepson on Thursday. We squeezed it in, between school and a cross-country meet.
And you bought how many pumpkins?
We bought four.
Four pumpkins? And how much did you pay?
$86. But we bought... I only bought one...
Wait, let Orion's look sink in.
Hang on. only one regular orange pumpkin, a larger one, and then three of the fancy pumpkins. That green pumpkin alone.
Those mean the fancy pumpkins are the people that saw you coming?
And I did go to, I went to the local garden shop.
Really?
Which is a little more, things are more expensive there, but it's a local independently owned thing.
Oh, what's the most you should ever pay for four pumpkins?
I have several places in the Huntley area, $6.
Everyone thinks $6.
$6 a pumpkin, yeah. And that's about any size.
I think we should send the authorities to this place.
I've been accused before of people see me coming and they change prices and mark them up because I'll pay it. So, but the green pumpkin itself, the one green one was like $23, $23.99. It's the fancy kind, though.
Why would you have a $23.99 pumpkin, oh?
It's really pretty.
I have no idea.
Does it have a gold ribbon wrapped around it or what?
It doesn't have a gold ribbon.
It's not one of those sweater ones, is it?
Steve. Not a pearl inside.
Now, were any of the pumpkins planted to make the beanstalk, Jack? Because apparently they are magic. Yes, Jack.
Hi, Steve. It's Mike, the other producer of the program.
Yes, Jake.
I was at the Evanston Farm Market this past weekend. I bought a pumpkin. It was orange, granted.
Oh, wait. Now, let me just do the math on this. I'm guessing you paid $21 because that would be a fourth of 84.
Actually, no, because I'm sane. So I bought that and then a little pumpkin for my niece, $6.50.
That was your whole bill?
$6.50
out the door.
I know.
Right, and again, they were orange. They weren't green.
I got to throw it in, too. I texted you and Mary, Steve, when
I was at
the Boley Farm, Ori, and everybody says hi to you in Orland Park,
which
is a landmark now. I bought two large orange pumpkins. Sorry, I had to get the orange because it's Halloween. $5.82 each. They're huge.
I was flooded with pumpkin prices after we mentioned it on
Did
Thursday.
Anyone pay as much as you paid?
Nobody has paid what I paid at
well,
all.
Well, you're a winner.
That's a way to look at it.
They turned that into a positive, didn't they? So the people that did this, once they rang you up, did anyone giggle, put the money in their pocket, and run to the back to tell the story?
They didn't, but Patrick got two free pieces of candy. So maybe
oh, wow. Well, you didn't pay for that, I hope.
I did not. I did. He got two Airheads.
All right. So we know that you overpaid.
I like to think I supported them, but yes, I overpaid. But it was efficient. No one else was there shopping. It only took me like 3 minutes.
Why.
Right. Because Mary said you have two minutes to get your pumpkins and get back in the car.
Patrick's like, what are we doing here? I said, we're getting pumpkins quickly. He goes, I'm quick. And he hopped out of the car. And
were the prices marked on the pumpkins?
Yes, with masking tape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they were pre-priced. The place is,
it's located
when you,
in
When you walked in, was there a guy who went out and was carrying these pumpkins and like hustled them into the display? Like there were special pumpkins behind?
No, but a girl.
She'll buy these.
They were playing Celebration. Like
she came right out.
Rally.
She put paper in the back of my car to put the pumpkins in.
I hope so. She should have driven you home.
I hope she put a red runner in the back of your car to put them on. Man.
Well, that's very nice of you.
We bought our wreath there last Christmas. And
what was that, 1,000?
I'm not
1,500?
Sure. I feel like maybe I was overcharged for that as well.
So will you carve the pumpkin?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
I don't do carving.
Hey, at that price? No. You don't want to cut into it.
They're on the front stoop just looking pretty.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to steal the pumpkins that you overpaid for, stop by.
Don't ask her if she's going to carve or make pumpkin soup or roast the pumpkin seeds. It won't end well.
She doesn't do pumpkins.
Illinois is the number one pumpkin state in the country.
Always has been.
And here's the number that knocks me down.
All right, let me hear it.
85% of the world's canned pumpkins are canned in Morton, Illinois at the Nestle USA Libby's plant.
At one plant?
One plant. 85% of the world's canned pumpkin.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
It was to me, too, when I saw it. Biggest pumpkin pie ever made, 20 feet in diameter, weighed 3,699 pounds, sold for $86. No. And the biggest pumpkin grown in Illinois and the entire United States, 2,145 pounds.
And was that here as well?
In Illinois. Well,
in Illinois. Yeah, there you go. Nicely done.
Just wanted you to know that.
When was the first time you had a Halloween costume?
I was probably 20, 21. Well, because, you know, the closest neighbor was a mile away. And
right.
You didn't get dressed up because you were going to do kind of naughty things like taking the outhouse apart and moving it into town and taking a wagon apart and pulling it up to the top of the barn roof of the neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean, we were very constructive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing was, those actually involved physical labor. There wasn't an app for that.
No.
And at 21, what were you when you dressed up for Halloween?
I don't remember. That was a century ago.
Don't think so. Well, you look great. You're feeling good?
Feeling good and getting ready to spend. I'm going to get my battery recharged next week. National FFA Convention. I'll be in Indianapolis 4 days rubbing shoulders with the brightest young people on the planet. And I get my battery charged every.
Speaking of your battery, anybody got a new phone yet? You know, you've heard about this Galaxy Note 7 fire that goes on. O brought this up when he had the pacemaker. Is it technically a pacemaker?
Yeah, I have a pacemaker.
Yeah, the pacemaker put in. That there's a monitor that you have bedside.
Yep.
And that monitor
feeds directly to the doctor.
Lets the doctor know if anything's going on.
Yeah. So
I mean, you're not tethered. You're not wearing a wire currently.
No.
And that battery in your pacemaker lasts how long?
Well, now 8 years. I still have 8 years of life left in my pacemaker battery.
Right. As opposed to your cell phone, which you have to recharge twice.
Every day, yeah.
No, but,
I don't understand battery technology.
Yeah, so if the batteries exist to do that, they exist to do their phone the same way.
Yeah.
All right. Nice to see you, buddy. As
always good to be seen, better than viewed.
Yes, any other plugs for the weekends coming up?
Let me see. I'm in town all week for a change.
All right.
Well,
we don't want you sitting around too much, so if you want to book Orion for something, call me. I do all of his bookings.
Oh, I'm going to be the Grand Marshal at the Sycamore Pumpkin Festival October 30th. You can come ride with me in the convertible.
If any of the vendors there have a slow day, call Sandberg. She'll be happy to come out and give you money. It's 9:53 back after this on 720 WGN. .57 before we run out of time. You Cub fans, y'all need a cheer up. You need an invigorating sort of it's going to be okay moment. Mark DiCarlo, my friend Mark, your friend Mark, Chicago's own Mark DiCarlo, by way of Los Angeles and now San Francisco. Were you at the game last night?
I was, Steve. It was a really good baseball game.
And?
We lost. I don't know if you saw
that. No, I got that part.
Yeah, it's probably – I'm breaking news right now.
But I thought, you know, you could cheer up Cub fans who are worried.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We're going to go back there tonight. We're going to win. We had to give them – think of the Giants as a giant balloon, you know, and when you untie it, it goes flying all over the room. Now they're just laying on the ground.
That's what the Giants are. They're a giant deflated balloon.
Right. That went all over the
room. Yeah, no, I got that part. So what gives you your confidence going into tonight's game?
Let's see. We won 103 games. Nobody got rattled last night. We just played hard. We left some guys on base. But you know what? Here's what gives me the confidence. I was in the stands, and I was Facebook Living throughout the entire game. And the Giants fans are scared. You could see it in their eyes, Steve. You see it in their eyes. They walk around, oh, we're going to be fine. But there's that dead stare. They know.
They have dead eyes. They have dead eyes.
Dead eyes. The Bears have come to eat them, and they know that.
All right, you've been listening to a upbeat cheer-up session from my friend.
I'm going to be back doing it again tonight, Steve.
Yeah, we may need you tomorrow as well. Stand by for more on that.